Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid TV. You also might be listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Colin Drew, and every week on this show, we run through all of the games that are on the NFL Daily Fantasy main slate on FanDuel and DraftKings. You know, we talk about roster building, we talk about strategy, we talk about individual player projections, really just giving you a full overview of the slate. Finally a week where I didn't print five figures last weekend, Colin. Dak Prescott broke his ankle and Daniel Jones scored 9 points. So it just wasn't really meant for me to happen. And I think that with the Cowboys now gone, how am I gonna make money? How are we gonna be profitable without the Cowboys?
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna fall back to reality a little bit over the next few weeks. So it should make the Gil cast a little bit more entertaining. Those, you know, are always better when you're losing. So I don't know. Last week we had so many juicy game stacks to choose from. This week feels a little, it feels a little gross. It'll be interesting to see if consensus plays emerge at all or if it just spreads out the ownership and to make decisions on whether to load up on mediocre games that we're not overly excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I think what is most fascinating about a slate without the Seahawks, without the Cowboys, without the Chiefs, without the Bills is, you know, what does that do to roster ship percentage? You know, what do people just like treat Ryan Fitzpatrick like he's Josh Allen? Does Matthew Stafford become Patrick Mahomes? You know, does Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers get to be 12%? Or is it sort of just like literally play whoever you want because no one is going to be higher than 10%? At running back, we will see some clear chalk. But as of right now, you know, we're looking at this early. I sort of expect there to only be one quote unquote chalky game, and that is going to be Detroit-Jacksonville. But other than that, I sort of think it's play who you want to play.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair case. And obviously, there's some news we'll be waiting on for the Minnesota Vikings-Atlanta Falcons game. Just sounds like it'll be good to play with just one COVID test, and it was personnel-related. But that game, I could see potentially grabbing some ownership as well, but more of that to Madison than the passing attack.
Yeah, so let's just go ahead and start with that game. And so if by the time that you are listening or watching this, that game has been canceled, you can just go ahead and skip for the next couple minutes and just assume that that you're on your way. But I will say, if this game does play, I mean, this has got to be one of the spots that threatens to end up being chalky. The Falcons with a 25.5 point team total, the Vikings with a 29.5 point team total. Alexander Mattison is going to be, I think clearly probably one of the most owned players on both FanDuel and DraftKings this weekend. Thielen will be popular. Calvin Ridley will be popular. I'm wondering, though, if there actually is a spot for us to attack, Colin. Olamide Zaccheaus ran a route on all 39 of Matt Ryan's dropbacks last week, was targeted four times, but had only the one catch for, I believe, 13 yards, and is now $3,200 on DraftKings. Is this the buy the dip spot on Olamide Zaccheaus?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting. They've had another week to price him up a little bit. Not that he got priced way up, but Madison, for sure. I mean, on FanDuel, his price didn't come up enough. On DK, they did price Madison up. We have him as the fourth running back overall in the slate right now, and I think that's pretty fair. And his price on this slate still feels affordable, but it's not a lock. On FanDuel, I do think you could make an argument that you want to play him in a really high percentage of your lineups just at his price tag. It's like a $2,000 savings off of Derrick Henry and not like a markable difference in projection. What we saw or what we expect is that Madison will essentially take over Dalvin Cook's workload, which was roughly 65% of the team's carries before he got hurt. So Madison definitely a bye. He should be involved a little bit in the passing game as well. Maybe not quite as much as Cook, but what do you think about Cousins, Thielen, Jefferson? Because Minnesota does have a very narrow target tree and they do have a high team total. And so do you feel like that's going to be something where people funnel to, or is it going to be the type of thing where Madison projects so high, Vikings like to be run heavy, a little bit overlooked compared to some of the other game stacks?
Absolutely going to get overlooked. Kirk Cousins won't touch 10% in anything. Thielen will end up being, you know, fairly chalky from this game, assuming that it goes forth as expected. But Irv Smith Jr. is the dead minimum on DraftKings. He's played at least 62% of the Viking snaps in every game, but one, was targeted 5 times last week. And, you know, both he, like, if so, for example, the combination of Kirk Cousins plus Irv Smith Jr. plus Justin Jefferson plus Calvin Ridley plus Olamide Zaccheaus, I mean, if you entered that in the $100 spy on DraftKings, I would guess that you would be actually probably be the only one with that double stack and bring back combination for a game with a team total, well, like, you know, with a game total in the 50s that it like projects for loads of passes.
Yeah. And for the Falcons, obviously Julio Jones, big piece of news we're waiting on. I guess, are you taking into consideration the coaching change for Atlanta at all? Or is it the situation where we're kind of just going to assume we see a similar offense to what we saw before?
So the guy who was calling the plays before is still calling the plays, Dirk Cutter. He just doesn't have the oversight of Dan Quinn anymore, who hilariously views himself as a defensive coach, despite the Falcons getting roasted on defense, you know, literally week after week. I actually think that I expect the Falcons offense to look better. I think that one of the big frameworks of Dirk Cutter's offenses in the past has been quick passes, and it wouldn't surprise me if they really just try and get Matt Ryan in the rhythm this week with just like loads of slants, maybe some more passing involvement for Brian Hill and Ito Smith, assuming that they don't want to target Gurley. I think that I expect the Falcons offense to look better over the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I know Gurley did end up having probably the ceiling week we'll see from him out of the entire season last week. But I don't think we're necessarily counting on that going forward in Minnesota. Probably not buying Gurley despite the performance last week.
Yeah, not buying Gurley. I'm not making any effort to get off of Alexander Mattison this week. I know a lot of the times with these chalky running backs, we look for reasons to be underweight or you know, leveraged on them somehow. I think Mattison lines up for 18 carries and, you know, a touchdown or more. So I expect him to be in lots of GPP winning lineups this week. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, kind of a sneakily good game. Like, I know it sounds disgusting, but the totals, we have Cleveland projected for a 24-point team total. We have the Steelers with a 27-point team total. And this is an absolutely mind-blowing stat. The Cleveland Browns, Colin, fourth in the NFL in points scored. Your Cleveland Browns are actually scoring points. It's blowing my mind, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, they... A lot of those obviously came in that shootout with Dallas, but I still think despite that, the offense has looked a bit better than expected. And the team in general has performed a bit better than expected. I think, you know, the news here, I think we're really waiting on is whether or not Diontae Johnson is going to be active for this game. Sounds like he's probably going to be limited in practice this week, but they still expect him to be back in the lineup. And I mean, the Steelers wide receivers have given us fits throughout the course of the season, whether it was Juju Smith-Schuster kind of in preseason, expecting him potentially to have a big bounce back season. Diontae Johnson, you know, as soon as you start to adjust to him potentially being the wide receiver one in Pittsburgh, he gets hurt mid game, 2 games in a row. And then Chase Claypool coming off of that smash last week. I don't think people are going to go back to him, especially if Johnson's active. What do you make of this wide receiver situation? And if Johnson's out, does Claypool become one of the stronger value plays in the slate?
Yeah, if Johnson finds a way not to play, I think that Claypool, I guess the issue I have is Claypool didn't run that many routes last week, but he had a crazy amount of targets. He ran 28 routes last week, but was targeted on 32% of the Steelers' passing attempts. So I don't know how much that continues, even if, you know, Diontae doesn't play. I sort of, what I'm hoping happens actually is that Diontae does play and that you get kind of reasonable ownership percentages on all of them, and that Big Ben double stacks are with Cleveland Browns bring backs are actually like not going to be that popular of a permutation in tournaments. Cause I would love to play Diontae. I would pool, I would actually love to play the overpriced Juju Smith-Schuster, because I think that Juju might be like 2% owned or something, like just like crazily low, and I really like that.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, I mean, the other thing with Claypool, they did have some design plays for him inside the red zone. He got 3 carries in the game, so it definitely was an active part of the game plan, not just a fluky, I mean, a little fluky as far as the ceiling, but not fluky that he was involved in the game plan, played in 70% of the team snaps. And I do wonder a little bit what happens if Johnson does play the full game and what that means for James Washington moving forward. Perhaps been passed on the depth chart there a little bit. James Conner been losing a little bit of work to Benny Snell the past couple weeks. I think that keeps Connor just on the periphery, sort of outside our preferred running back targets on this slate. And then Kareem Hunt definitely has seen an uptick as far as usage and red zone opportunity since Nick Chubb went down, but he hasn't owned the backfield by himself either.
He had every running back touch but one until the fourth quarter last week, and then the team said that like they were just crushing and they didn't need him to. Kareem Hunt is like my favorite leverage play of the weekend, because I think that people will see the matchup. You know, they'll be like, the Steelers defense, it's good. They see the red number on DraftKings that, like, the Steelers defense is so good against running backs, and they'll just be like, whatever, I'm not going to do it. But I think Kareem Hunt is one of the few guys who could legit touch the ball 30 times this week.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, and he definitely is going to be a secondary option compared to the similarly priced running backs on this slate.
Yeah. So, and then are you interested in Odell or Landry? Landry is finally up to his target share that we expect from, like, he was really starting out the year slow, but it seems that he is more recovered from this hip injury. I kind of like Odell, but he did get sent home early from practice one day this week with an illness. So who knows what that is?
Yeah, it's always a mystery now. Dwayne Haskins has been home with an illness for a little while, too, for Washington.
Yeah, over at itis.
I think I'm not interested in OBJ or Landry outside of game stacks, but I would consider them as a bring back option if I do double stack Big Ben.
Yeah, you only want him in those lineups. I'm with that for sure. All right, here is our big game. Detroit at Jacksonville. Detroit with a team total of 29. Jacksonville with a team total of 25.5. DJ Shark may or may not play in this game. Laviska Shenault has a hamstring injury. They're probably just monitoring that. Everyone on Detroit, though, should be healthy. You know, we have TJ Hawkinson, Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, all of those guys. Expecting this game to be super, super popular. Would only use this in single entry and 3-max with double bringbacks. So, like, Minshew, Shark, Shenault, Golladay, Hawkinson. I would not middle this game. I would be all in or be fading, I think.
Yeah. So I guess, who do you expect to be popular for Detroit? I for sure agree
just
that
Golladay, I think. Yeah.
So I think Stafford, you know, he'll carry requisite ownership because people will pair him up with Golladay, and just in general, quarterback ownership gets spread out. Nobody gets mega high and nobody's going to get super low. So with the team total, I think Stafford will be, Golladay will be, but I don't think the double stacks will be very popular because
at all. Yeah.
I don't think people are going to know whether or not to choose Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, TJ Hawkinson. Hawkinson, I would imagine, more popular of those other guys, but it's not like you're getting a great price on him either. So I think you still could stack this game if you wanted to in single entry. I just for sure wouldn't single stack Stafford because, like, the single Stafford Golladay stack should be one of the most popular single stacks of the week.
How much Shenault is too much Shenault if Shark doesn't play? I mean, I was actually, just before you and I started recording, I was watching the all 22 of the Jacksonville offensive sequences from last week, and like, they are going to Shenault. Like, they are just clearly designing plays to get him in, like, a little bit of space. There were a couple third and fives where they had him isolated on one side of the field and they were just, like, running screens and stuff. Like, it's time for the Shenault rocket ship.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I almost want to say that if you thought, you know, DJ Chark mattered to Laviska Shenault, you didn't know Laviska Shenault to begin with.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's being utilized pretty similarly. And even the game that Chark missed earlier, you didn't see a massive change.
Yeah.
So, and Conley is like an interesting case too, because he's also started to lose a bit of work to Colin Johnson, who kind of profiles as a similar type of wide receiver. So even if Chark is out, I think when we played that showdown slate, it was definitely a big spike for Conley. I don't know if it's that same size spike for Conley this week, but an uptick in role. So Chark or not, I think Chenault is for sure viable in bringbacks, assuming he's healthy. I just don't think you have to get carried away with kind of increase like a 25% target share type of player.
Yeah. I don't have much to say about Baltimore at Philadelphia.
Well, one more Lions guy I wanted to get your feedback on. Cause
oh, no. Don't. DeAndre. Okay, yeah.
You thought I was going to say Adrian Peterson.
I thought you were, I really thought you were coming in with, you know, the way to leverage yourself off everyone being all in on the passing game. Adrian Peterson, he leads the team in carries, could score two touchdowns. I was ready for you to go there.
You were ready for it. But DeAndre Swift has been more involved in the passing game every week that goes on. 14% of the team's targets over the last 2 weeks. And I do think that he's a guy that you could potentially include as a part of a Stafford double stack. That would be pretty contrarian. And also, just from a value perspective, there's not a ton of obvious value this slate. So especially on a PPR site, I think that DeAndre Swift is starting to hit the point where he could approach value. And you're also potentially getting the situation where, you know, it's the rookie kind of in entering like the sixth week of the season off of a bye week, potentially a little bit of a larger role than what we saw through the first beginning of the season.
Yeah, I've seen that take on Twitter this week of people being like, oh, you know, rookies coming off the bye week gives them a chance to kind of have their head stop spinning, get into the game, work in the game plan. I would say as it pertains to DeAndre Swift, it wouldn't surprise me. I really like the idea. My seasonal teams would love if the DeAndre Swift rocket ship took off. I think maybe my counter would be the running back slots are like too valuable to waste on guys whose ceiling is like 18 points. Like Swift would have to score twice, I think, even like kind of like Rex Burkhead that week. And I don't know if he's got the Rex Burkhead ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is fair. I don't think that the ceiling is massive, but I do think he could have returned like four times value. So like 18 points, I think, is a reasonable 90th percentile projection for him.
I was very ready for the Adrian Peterson tout. Very on brand.
I'm glad I did you proud by not.
We might have Gallaudet projected a little too high. I need to go look at this.
I think I tweaked it earlier. I think it's better.
22 points seems like a lot for him, but I mean, it might be right. I don't know. Colin, I'm not interested. Something is wrong with Lamar. He ran only two times last week. I'm not really interested in playing Philadelphia Eagles offensive players against this Ravens defense. You know, Carson Wentz is not Patrick Mahomes. I know he had success against the Steelers last week throwing to Travis Fulgham. But I just overall, I think that a 20 team total, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, what is 4,400 Travis Fulgham going to project for? And how can we play this guy?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely can't play Travis Fulgham. Not this week, and maybe we won't have to. DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey both practicing limited so far this week. Jeffrey was out with an illness last week, and who knows, maybe one of those two guys will be back. It'll kind of shake things up on the depth chart a little bit. And regardless, I don't think you're expecting, even if he is, like, even if both those guys are inactive, you're not expecting them to bounce back from Fulgham again. Really tough matchup against the Ravens. We're not typically chasing this, and I do share some of your concerns with Lamar, and we have seen like them in some of these games turn into RG3 time in this like late in the fourth quarter. And so you lose a little bit of upside there as well, just resting Lamar. He was also on the injury report. So when you see the injury report and then you see the two carry game, it does throw up some caution flags. I feel like Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, probably the only guys on my tournament radar. They're both, I think, a little bit overpriced this week. On the road in Philly, but I think those are the only two guys I'm really looking to play rather than trying to double stack Lamar or hoping for the rushing upside game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sums up my feelings on this game. Like, we have Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram, and J.K. Dobbins in this disgusting split.
Poor J.K. Dobbins can barely get a carry these days.
Yeah, I actually think if I was going to make a hashtag contrarian play in this game, it would be Miles Sanders and just be like, look, dude, Boston Scott, he is not a thing. Corey Clement, they're barely playing him. Sanders had a 77-yard rushing touchdown last week and then 80 total rushing yards. He had a very Leonard Fournette-esque performance against the Steelers. And, I mean, could he do the same thing against the Ravens? Sure. He is a big part of this team's passing game. So if I was going to play an Eagles player, I think that's the direction I would go. And it would definitely buddy, it would definitely not be Zach Ertz. I am not buying low on Zach Ertz. I would, if I had him in any format, I would be selling low because that dude looks cooked.
Isn't it crazy? You think like week six of the season, you get Ertz without Dallas Goedert, without DeSean Jackson, without Jalen Reagor at 5K, and just not interested.
Yeah, I mean, six targets, one reception for 4 yards last week. It's just, you know, I mean, being that slow and that non-athletic just eventually came up. It caught up to him, right? It catches up to everybody, and you know, whatever. Zach Ertz, you've had a great career. Be happy with it. I don't know. That's all I got. our next game here, Cincinnati at Indianapolis. Okay, Colin, is it finally Jonathan Taylor week? Is this finally the Jonathan Taylor 120 rushing yard, 2 touchdown, 4 catch for 35 yard performance?
It seems like no, right?
Oh, so brutal.
I mean, it's frustrating, but it feels like no. It feels like they're committed to a committee, and they're making the committee bigger each week that goes on. We had the Jonathan Taylor week. We ran hot during it. Now that you've seen what this offense looked like the other weeks, we definitely got away with one.
Vikings week? Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, seems like...
I will say Jordan Wilkins only played 2 offensive snaps last week and got 1 carry after playing like 20% the 3 weeks before that. So I'm more optimistic than you, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's, I guess that is a little bit fair, and maybe overlook things a little bit with the market share carries for Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he touched the ball like what, 12 times and a couple targets last week. So I think he's going to be popular, which I guess is like the main issue, but he's priced down like a tier lower than some of these other backs. So I'll defer to you there. What about T.Y. Hilton? So I know,
buddy,
he's dusty
on
and old too, but T.Y. Hilton is 5K. He still leads the team in targets with more than 20% of the team's targets through the first few weeks. And I think it is a spot where he's not going to get rostered at all. You have exposure to one of the highest totals on the slate. And I don't know. Talk me out of it.
Can he go 6 for 85? Absolutely. Yeah.
With a touchdown.
I don't know. I would rather, I think that I would rather maybe gamble on one of their cheaper guys, right? Like I think I would rather roster Trey Burton for 3,100 than I would play T.Y. Hilton at 5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. And the Colts have had one of the best defenses to start the season. The Bengals have a team total below 20. Are you taking any piece of the Bengals?
Yeah. I mean, I think that T. Higgins is legit. I think that last week against the Ravens, it was just like the most brutal spot ever. But he is seeing like, you know, about 8 targets a game. And, I'm not particularly scared of this Colts defense or anything. We think that the Bengals should be throwing the entire game. Yeah, I think T. Higgins is legit. I mean, AJ Green he's totally done.
So can I book T. Higgins versus T.Y. Hilton? Because they're $300 apart on prices. So it's basically the comparable play you're talking about making here.
Yeah, yeah. We can book that one for 25.
And then anything else on the Bengals side? I'm probably mostly off them. I think Higgins is viable too. I just do prefer Hilton. I don't think he's going to get rostered very much. Probably not interested in any of the other Bengals. I think Mixon's role is still solid, but for the 6K-ish range, there are other backs who have higher totals and bigger passing game roles.
Yeah, I think that seems fine. I mean, Mixon is like, if you have him in season long fantasy, you're like, whatever, dude, just, you know, grind out your touches, but not a guy to roster that heavily in daily fantasy. I think, I mean, maybe I actually, let me say this. The Colts might just be terrible, right? And the Bengals might actually be able to beat them. I know that this is like an insane spread and everything, but it of all like the giant spreads this weekend, I would not be surprised to see the Bengals pull an upset here because I think that the Colts and Phillip Rivers are really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I wouldn't be shocked either.
Yeah. All right, moving on now, we have the Washington football team at the New York Giants. And, I mean, let me tell you, not a ton of plays here. I mean, I guess we have McLaurin at 5,700. That's actually a pretty nice price for McLaurin, but in terms of the New York football Giants, the only guy I can see playing is Darius Slayton. That seems about it to me.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I at least talked about the news, I guess. So for Washington, Kyle Allen started last week. He got hurt within the first few series. Alex Smith ended up coming in. It's expected they'll go back to Kyle Allen, assuming he looks good on the practice report. And then Devonta Freeman has been taking over a much bigger share of the Giants since the signing, kind of easing him in progressively more each respective week. They're playing the football team, so it's going to be one of the better matchups the Giants get, not as far as pace of the game, but just as far as like being favored at home versus the football team. Devonta Freeman is just 4,900, about 60% of the team's rush attempts. So I think he's at least reasonably in play for this slate, but not like a massive overall ceiling and a guy that does lose the passing game work.
Yeah, I think that sounds fine. I don't know. Like, again, I think there's just too much opportunity cost at that position to chase like some of these borderline type plays. And I don't know, maybe he gets it done. He actually looked kind of spry last week. If I'm gonna be real about it, like I was watching that game and I was like, man, he looks like he's got some moves left. Yeah, he's got a little bit of juice. And the football team is terrible. So, you know, could he have two rushing the football team? Whatever. Sure. Yeah, it's possible. And I will say though, I actually think this, I need to get this take out there. Like, I actually think this is a great buying spot on McLaurin. I wouldn't play him in cash like Derek Carty advocates every week on Thursday before he starts to build teams. Like, he's always like, you got to play McLaurin in cash. But I would actually make an effort to get McLaurin in my, you know, single entry and three max builds for sure. Because I think that he just sees so many targets and I think he's really good.
Would you hold your nose and stack this game at all? Bring it back with McLaurin, no. Daniel Jones, Slayton, or just no chance?
No, not chance. This one is off the mix. Yeah, I can't do it. Well, let's save one of the good games for the other side of break. Let's go to Denver and New England now. Who is the play from this game? Who are the plays from Denver and New England? Is there Cam. Anyone? Yeah, Okay, you can jam Cam in for sure. He is $6,500 on DraftKings. He can run for two touchdowns here. And actually, in single entry and three max where you're building your teams by hand, I think you can play him naked.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And we did see, I mean, we've seen some weird stuff from the Patriots this season, but what we have seen is when they're heavy favorites, they're running the ball a ton and that the red zone package is Cam. So I definitely think Cam is a good buy. I mean, you could even think about, like, if you're building in an optimizer, like you got the Stafford lineups in there with Kenny Galladay, like Cam has much higher upside, I think, than Stafford. And I don't think that's particularly debatable. So I could plausibly see a scenario where you kind of choose a game to stack and then swap Cam in for the pass first quarterback and hope that he can just outscore him with his legs.
Yeah, I think that sounds fairly rational. Any interest in the extremely cheap Philip Lindsay? Right now, we don't know if Melvin Gordon is or is not suspended. Do you have any interest in Philip Lindsay, assuming that Melvin Gordon is not playing in this game?
Yeah, it's going to be a really tough one. I mean, I guess it would kind of profile similarly to the DeAndre Swift play, where the value could be there if you need the salary savings, but the upside not necessarily there. So a really tough matchup. Wouldn't be surprised at all in that scenario if Lindsay was able to put up like 13 fantasy points with like a ceiling of 18, but you're not going to get like a 30 point outing from him.
So we have Houston, Tennessee coming off smashing the Buffalo Bills, the Houston Texans coming off scoring on 6 of their 9 possessions in their first game without BOB last week. This to me actually seems like maybe one of the better game stack games, I think, this week.
Yeah, I feel like the concern for Tennessee is always, I mean, whether or not they're going to run enough plays and throw the ball enough for Tannehill to pay off. And you did see essentially what a Tannehill ceiling week looks like last week. And it is a very highly efficient game, but rarely flirts with like 300 passing yards. And so you need all of those touchdown efficiency. And I guess I'm a little more skeptical about that happening again, consecutive weeks. But if it does get there, that's kind of how it's getting there. I'm more interested in one-offs from this game. So I think Jonnu Smith, you know, part of what we need to figure out with the Titans is the COVID, because it is possible that these guys will test negative and be able to come off the COVID IR and it'll shake up the market shares. But if they roll out the squad that they did against the Buffalo Bills, then I think you see all of the passing game targets funnel to AJ Brown and Jonnu Smith. And so I'd be more interested in those guys as one off than I would be trying to double stack up Tennessee. And then Derrick Henry is going to get his 20 touches regardless, and he's going to get all the red zone work in a competitive game. And so I think he's always going to be one of the top projected running backs, especially in a slate like this.
Yeah, I mean, he is projected for lots and lots of points. I think that I am interested in stacking this game, though, because both teams have a pretty concentrated amount of where their touchdowns would go. Like for Houston, it's really going to be, you know, obviously Watson on the ground, but like they haven't really gone to David Johnson in the red zone, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, and then, you know, whoever starts at tight end, whether it's Akins or Fells. And then for Tennessee, you know, it really is just three guys. It's Jonnu, it's Derrick Henry, and it's AJ Brown. I mean, I think the problem you might have with AJ Brown is running him as a one-off is I think that our early ownership projections maybe are not fully accurate in terms of how owned I expect AJ Brown to be. I think he is going to be super, super popular this week in all formats.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I guess if I was going to stack it, the Texans side optically is more appealing, but they've also been priced up pretty considerably, and they are the underdogs in this matchup. So, like, Will Fuller, one of the more expensive wide receivers overall on the slate. I guess Brandon Cooks is still a reasonable value at 5K. And the tight end situation is one, if both Atkins and Fells are active, I'm kind of staying away from. But if one of them's inactive, I'd be fine playing Watson lineups or in game stacks, but probably not individually as a one-off.
Yeah, I mean, I am not I'm not all that interested in playing Fells or Akins, even, you know, if the other one is out. Like, Darren Fells is like a left tackle, basically. But I think that I would play him in game sack situations, and that is about it. And I think that also because Watson runs so much, you can use him as just a single stack as well. You know, and for example, you know, Watson plus Fuller plus AJ Brown, and then fill it in wherever you want from that. And I think that has a decent chance to be optimal. All right, moving to Chicago and Carolina. This is the grossest play I'm ever going to tout, but David Montgomery is just getting every running back touch for the Chicago Bears. Like, he played 85% of the snaps last week. I think Cordarrelle Patterson had like five or six backfield snaps, but Ryan Nall had one carry. Artavius Pierce was inactive. And this Carolina defense has literally given it up to every running back. Every running back against them has gotten there.
Yeah, I mean, Artavius Pierce, I think, was active, but didn't play. So even with that said, even with him active, they weren't looking to mix him in. So if he is active, I don't think you have to stress about that regardless for Montgomery. And he's involved in the passing game too. I think he's been seeing 16% of the team's targets since Tariq Cohen went down. So I don't know. I mean, 5,800, they're on the road. I think he's going to be one of the more popular running back values on the entire slate. I guess that would be the pause, is if you can find a wide receiver to outscore him, or another running back to outscore him at lower ownership. There's a lot of benefit in tournaments for that, but definitely agree that he has started to assume the workload of like a true bell cow running back since Tariq Cohen went down.
Yeah, and on the other side, we have like the best player in fantasy football over the last 3 weeks. We have Mike Davis, who we have, I think, you know, we are projecting him conservatively to basically not make him look like Christian McCaffrey. But even in this really difficult matchup, we are still projecting him for well over 21 DraftKings points, you know, more than Alexander Mattison, more than Kareem Hunt, more than James Robinson, some of these other really popular plays. I mean, I can't really see a way around playing, you know, a good amount of Mike Davis this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess besides the team total, which is like, what, it's a point and a half, 2 point spread. Is there really a tremendous difference in usage between those two backs? I guess Davis has been getting more than 16% of the team's targets a little bit more consistently. He's been doing it for more weeks in a row, but it does feel like, I guess, similar levels of plays for similar levels of teams in a game that's projected to be close.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that, and also, I mean, you feel better about the goal line work for Mike Davis than David Montgomery. You feel like for some reason, all of the goal line work in Chicago is going to Jimmy Graham.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the big difference in our projections too, is the run to pass ratio just being higher on the Bears side of things with the passing touchdowns. So definitely something to consider there. Are you interested in any of the passing game options for Carolina?
Yeah, I am going to be playing Robbie Anderson in single entry in 3-max, and I think he actually is cash viable on DraftKings as well, because they are targeting Robbie at all depths. They are making a very consistent game plan to get him the ball. Like, they are like, we want Robbie Anderson to be a part of this offense. So shout out I want to play him a bunch.
Yeah, shout out Griff was a few weeks early on this, told us that the childhood narratives with Bridgewater and Robbie were going to come into play.
Yeah, well, the Matt Rhule narrative, bro. They like he coached Robbie in college. He loves him. Like Robbie Anderson, they want him to succeed there.
Yeah. So any of the other guys, DJ Moore is priced competitively with Robbie Anderson. I think last week got there in tournaments, but seems like the usage is now, you know, multiple weeks in of being a pretty disconnect.
Yeah. I mean, I would maybe click him in some of the lottos. Like if I played like a 20,000 person single entry tournament on DraftKings, maybe I would play him just because I expect him to be super, super off the board, but I don't, you know, not all that interested. I think that our next game, though, the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins, I think that actually this is the candidate for the game that ends up being like silly levels of owned just based off of like, so we got Fitzpatrick against his old coach, right? Fitzpatrick used to be a Jet. Fitzpatrick used to be coached by Adam Gase, all this stuff. We have the super high team total for the Dolphins. People really like Devontae Parker. People really like Preston Williams. People really like Mike Gesicki. And just let me tell you this, big observations from playing daily fantasy over the years is when there is a Ryan Fitzpatrick spot, people love the Ryan Fitzpatrick spots. And it to me, it's related to the fact that he once had a 6-touchdown game while being like 60% owned or something in cash games. And the people who remember that are like, oh yeah, dude, Fitzpatrick is the best ever. So I think that whenever, whatever projection system, whatever you use, and you're looking at that ownership percentage, Fitzpatrick will be more owned than that. That's the Matic guarantee of the week.
Yeah, that's so funny. And plus, you know, he's got all the press conference swag as well. And yep. So people love that stuff too. It's just, he's a fun guy to root for. And I agree. I think he's one of the top value plays in our projections. Dolphins have a 28 plus point team total as well, which is kind of crazy to think about that, but that's how bad the Jets have been. And I don't know. I mean, Fitzpatrick, I would say the pause, I guess, is that they have been spreading the ball around a good bit, perhaps more than we would have expected to start the season. I think we're expecting a lot of the targets to funnel to Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki, Preston Williams to an extent, but Isaiah Ford has been pretty involved in the passing offense as well. We've only got him projected for 12% of the team's targets, but it's been up closer to 16% to start the year, including a few spike week games. So there are still ways to differentiate, even if you're double stacking Fitzpatrick, just because of how diverse the Dolphins offense has been. I guess the two big questions for this game, if you're going to double stack it, are you bringing it back with Jameson Crowder? And then who do you prefer between Miles Gaskin at 5,400 with a 28 point total and David Montgomery at 5,800 with a 21 point total? Guys have been commanding around 16% of the team's targets and a high percentage of the team's rushing workload.
I think probably I would say Gaskin, because with Jordan Howard inactive, there's just not really anything in the way of him doing well. There's no obstacle if the Dolphins have a good game, which, you know, obviously the line expects them to. Like I would think Gaskin is actually a candidate to be one of the guys who is underowned.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty interesting pivot. If Howard was active, I guess I would be slightly more concerned just about getting vultured at the goal line, because that's essentially what Jordan Howard had been used through the first 4 weeks of the season before he was inactive last week. So I think the overall touch projection for Gaskin is probably the same. But I noticed you dodged my question about Jameson Crowder. Are you bringing it back with any of the
Yes, teams? I'm bringing it back with Jameson Crowder. Whatever. 6,100, he gets all these targets, whatever. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it, but sure, whatever. I mean, you're making me publicly say this about Jameson Crowder. Like, let me tell you this, though. The week I finally play Jameson Crowder is the week he goes 4 for 40. You know, like, I can go ahead and guarantee that right now. We do have our last game to get to here. Colin, I think this might be the sneaky game. I think this is the game that people might overlook in terms of its stackability. We have the Green Bay Packers with Devontae Adams returning, should be 100% healthy. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Chris Godwin returning. Godwin at 6,400 seems to me like if Evans is dinged up, like, I mean, Godwin might just be an absolute smash at 6,400 on DraftKings.
Yeah, it's a pretty reasonable price tag. I mean, this is... I would agree that it's going to go overlooked relative to the game total, because I think the value is not quite, I mean, it's a lot more
a lot of expensive. There's a lot of expensive guys. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Bucks have been frustrating because we don't really know what their offense looks like. They've just been moving parts every single week of the season, whether it's Evans being hurt, Godwin being hurt. You've got O.J. Howard going down. You've got like Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette shuffling in and out ahead of each other. So all of that, I feel like, will take most of the ownership away from this game. And I think the only pieces that potentially could be reasonably popular would be Davante Adams and maybe Robert Tonyan, but he's been priced up as well. So I would imagine that's where the majority of the ownership in this game lies, is just with like Davante Adams is the linchpin. It's got to be one of the higher owned wide receivers on the slate, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. What about Ronald Jones? I mean, is Ronald Jones going to be 4% owned and get 19 carries and 4 targets and then finally score a touchdown? I need it, so please say yes.
It's tough. I can't play Ronald Jones at that price, but I think nobody will play Ronald Jones at that price. Leonard Fournette was active kind of in the emergency situation last week. They've had, you know, the long week or whatever to recover, and so you would expect Fournette's health to be a little bit better. Doesn't mean that Ronald Jones isn't going to play a lot of the rushing downs, but I think all of that, yeah, Ronald Jones will be like 2-4%, but I still don't think I can go there just because I expect this backfield to move towards a timeshare.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, Leonard Fournette is so bad and he's banged up, and like, I don't know how a dude with no explosion is able to, like, I think it's harder for those guys obviously to get back from high ankle sprains. I will say though, tight end is just so absolutely brutal, and Gronk and Cam Brate played a ton for the Buccaneers last week, and if Evans and Godwin are still banged up, I think that there's a little bit of hidden upside with both of those guys, and I think that even at this seemingly crazy projection for Robert Tonyan, you know, or not crazy projection, but crazy price tag, you know, I think there is definitely some room for ceiling still with him.
I mean, we don't want to dismiss Aaron Jones either in this game. It's not the best matchup that he'll ever have, but I think Aaron Jones is going to be one of the top 5 running backs on the slate, kind of regardless of projection source. And I think that, you know, he's going to get around 60% of the team's carries. He's going to get kind of in that 16 to 20% of the targets for them as well. He did lose a little bit of work in that last game with Jamal Williams taking over, but I don't expect that to be something that continues kind of on a go-forward basis. So I think Aaron Jones is the other kind of strong value on this slate, but we probably prefer Davante Adams just purely on projection.
Mine is going to be the game that we just talked about, Tampa Bay and Green Bay. I think that, you know, Chris Godwin, Ronald Jones, Aaron Jones, Mike Evans, Robert Tonyan, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I think all those guys have ceilings that are not accounted for in their ownership projections. And, you know, if Aaron Jones is going to be 9% owned or whatever, I'm super interested in finding ways to stack this game up. And I love, like, for example, I love the correlation between playing Aaron Jones and then playing, you know, Gronk at tight end or Brate at tight end and then playing Chris Godwin. I think all of those guys are appropriately priced. So that's the direction I'm going.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think my favorite game to stack this week is going to be the Minnesota Vikings, Atlanta Falcons. I think the concentration of targets on the Vikings makes stacking them super appealing, even though you haven't really gotten a lot out of Cousins this week. I think the slate is set up in a way where it could be the potential where you don't need that like 30 plus point performance out of a quarterback to win tournaments, because you don't have a lot of the best quarterbacks on the slate. So I think that at his price tag, 6,100 on DraftKings, that Cousins with a condensed target tree can make for a good game stack, and then multiple options to bring it back on the Atlanta side and kind of diversify as you move up or down stakes with those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all of that makes sense. I do think that some of the popular spots definitely are going to be the Detroit-Jacksonville game. You know, if you are using those players, I would definitely think just about being artful in those lineups that you are creating. You don't want your interest to be aligned with, you know, so many of your competitors. So for example, you know, if you are going to be going after Detroit Jacksonville, you know, maybe that would be a spot to use some of these off the wall running back plays like James Conner, Miles Sanders, Todd Gurley, something like that. That definitely would be the direction that I would go there. I think another one of the under the radar stacks you could go to would be Houston, Tennessee. I think that Derrick Henry is going to be very popular, and I think that AJ Brown is going to be very popular. So, you know, just some leverage there. David Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, you know, and then, you know, depending on who comes back for Tennessee, I think that we could find some leverage there as well. So everyone, that is going to do it for us here today at the Daily Roto Hour on SportsGrid TV. If you like the program, if you are enjoying all of this insight, I would definitely encourage you to go over to dailyroto.com and sign up for the service. Maybe give it a week free trial where you're able to check out all of our optimizing tools, all of our projections, and all of the premium content over on dailyroto.com. Stay tuned to SportsGrid TV, and Colin and I will be back next week.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.